Hello, everybody. This is Adam Reuter for the Baltimore Informer podcast. On today's episode is Rob Daniels, and you can go to his website, www.danielsforjudge.com. You can also find him on Facebook. All the links will be on the Baltimore County Informer website, so you can just click or tap them and go right there. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So, Rob, let's tell the audience about your background information and what qualifies you for the position of judge.
Sure. Well, thanks for the question. I've been a trial attorney for my entire career. I've been blessed to do exactly what I wanted to do and set out to do. I got my start in the law clerking for Judge John Grayson Turnbull II, right there in the Towson courthouse in which I wish to serve. So clerking is a very unique opportunity for young lawyers. You get to be a part of the judge's deliberative process, see how decisions are made and participate in them. And it was a very meaningful time for me. I come from a very humble background, so it was just eye-opening to see that this was a job that I could ultimately someday do. We also were in trial often, and we had attorneys in front of us all the time. So I was also bitten then by the trial attorney bug. And that's when I knew that's what I wanted to do with my law degree. From there, I went to civil practices that were very generous with me and let me take any and all cases I could find because I wanted to try everything. I wanted to know what kind of lawyer I wanted to be. During that time, I was blessed to do I did one very big foreclosure defense case that was great, and I got a great result for my homeowner client, a traumatic injury workers' compensation case. I did a lot of tort, auto tort defense and plaintiff's work. And I funneled my way into a boutique law firm in Towson that specialized in family law. These were high asset divorces and high conflict child custody matters. And folks came to my firm for a street fight. They didn't necessarily come to settle. This firm was known for trying a lot of cases. And I developed a certain skill for family law and a certain affinity for it. And what I learned mostly was not only did I have the mind for family law, I had the heart, and there's a difference. I was not afraid or shy to recommend settlement in cases where it was appropriate. And I really enjoyed that time. I felt like a problem solver and in a way to uniquely help families. And I would often tell clients, you know, let's try to resolve this. If a case could be settled, I was always willing to want to do that. Let's try to settle your case, because if we can't, there's a stranger that's about to make a huge decision in your life that will change your life for many years and perhaps your children's lives. So I stand uniquely among the field of candidates in the fact that I do have this family law experience, and I'm very proud of that. From there, I pursued a career-long dream of being a prosecutor, and I did this at several different agencies, quickly rising through the ranks into felony work. I landed ultimately in the Special Victims Unit, where I was a sex offense prosecutor, prosecuting sex crimes against children and adults, and it still remains the most meaningful work that I've ever done and perhaps will do in my life. I became affiliated with the Baltimore Child Abuse Center at that time, and I'll circle back to that. And from there, I was honored to be selected to serve as an assistant attorney general for the Attorney General's Office of Maryland. I am a civil litigator assigned to the State Highway Administration. I do eminent domain real estate litigation as well as some torts. The torts come around more often and keep me in court and in trial and keep my skills fresh. And I also advise the state on the topics of automated vehicles and drones. It's my experience, my work experience, I think definitely qualifies me for the role, but it's my devotion and commitment to community service that motivates me. My service work is my why. It's why I get out of bed in the morning. It's why I do the other things that I do. I mentioned Baltimore Child Abuse Center, and after I left prosecution, I knew I wanted to serve with this organization. They were acquired by LifeBridge, and LifeBridge renamed this organization into Center for Hope. It's moved beyond just child violence and childhood trauma, and it is an organization that I believe is single-handedly doing the most work to resolve the problem of the trauma of violence in Baltimore City. the organization has expanded into family violence and domestic violence. I became a faculty member there several years ago after leaving prosecution, and I became part of the team that teaches forensic interviewers how to testify at trial after interviewing a child after a traumatic event or a crime, how to interview a child after a traumatic interview, how to interview a child after a traumatic event, such as witnessing a crime or being a victim of sex abuse. We then, after the training program, we have mock trials for the forensic interviewers to apply their skills. And over the years of doing that and loving that work, I was invited to join the board of this organization where I currently serve and am part of the executive committee deciding the future of the organization. I am the face of diversity of the Women's Bar Association of Maryland, Baltimore Carroll chapter. I love my work with the Women's Bar Association. It's a very active board. We have lots of programming. We recently had a gala where we raised $120,000 to benefit Samuel Reddy Scholarships. That's an organization that provides full scholarships to young women of extraordinary promise, young girls, to attend one of the area's local independent high schools. These girls go on to become architects, surgeons, lawyers, and it's a very moving organization doing great work. I serve on a number of other boards, including Baltimore Center Stage. That's our Maryland State Theater. And that's one of the more fun, lighthearted things I get to do. But yeah, service is definitely my motivation and a large part of my background. And I count it as part of my experience that qualifies me, because I approach being a judge and the prospect of being a judge as an extension of my service. It's another way to serve the community with a specialized skill set, maybe some accrued wisdom, but I approach it from a sense of service. And I question anyone who hasn't been a public servant but wants to be a judge. I question the motivation. Are you a busybody? Do you just like to tell people what to do? But I can say wholeheartedly that for me, it's a part of service. It's part of being a compassionate problem solver and helping people on perhaps their worst day.
Wow. Well, I will let the voters give their opinion. I'd love to give mine, but I try to be very fair and balanced with the interviews. But thank you for first of all, from human to human, thank you for your service to the community of Baltimore County.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to serve and give back to the community and to people who have done so much for me in my life. And yeah, it's a privilege.
Okay, so I have one curiosity question and the other one that relates to the campaign. So first of all, before you became a law clerk, and I'm talking about like high school times, what made you interested in the legal profession?
So I wasn't. I have a kind of a strange background in which I was raised, college wasn't in my future. My parents were not college people. I was part of a religious community that didn't value higher education. So I never thought I would go to college. I graduated high school. I worked on local farms on the Eastern Shore. I was a mason's laborer. I had a landscaping business briefly. And it wasn't until maybe I was 23 or so that I decided to start taking classes at the local community college, thinking I wanted to be a physician. But I loved learning, and that just snowballed into attending college in Baltimore. I thought I was going to med school, so I moved to Baltimore to finish my degree and realized that organic chemistry was very hard. I think it's what throws a lot of folks who think they're going to be doctors. But I took some time to just think about what I was good at, my interests, and what I should do. And I was living near the University of Baltimore at the time. I was living near the University of Baltimore at the time and decided to enter their pre-law program. And so my undergraduate degree actually is from University of Baltimore, and I was privileged to be accepted to University of Maryland. So I turned 30 my first year of law school. So not exactly a straight line of a career, but I think it really helped me know that this is I think it really helped me understand that this is the right job for me, approaching it as an older student a fully developed human that had had other experiences.
Yeah, it sounds like you were well-rounded, very well-rounded.
Yeah, I definitely had other experiences, and I had human experiences. I struggled to make ends meet. I had my own challenges, and I got to experience life with people, being shoulder to shoulder with them, getting to know them, their experiences. So getting to be a student at an older age, I had a different level of maturity. I don't know what it would have looked like for me to have entered college at 17, because I would have. I graduated high school at 17 and would have gone straight into college. And I just don't know what I would have chosen, but I do feel blessed. And I, as a result of being an older student, one of the drawbacks is I think you hear this clock ticking in your head. I felt like I was behind. I had things to catch up on, that I was behind my peers. So I always felt this sense of urgency to progress and do things as quickly as I could. And in a lot of ways, that's also shaped my professional career, because I've wanted to do things more rapidly. I've wanted to excel and succeed more quickly. And it's been a large part of my drive, and I think a large part of why I find myself here.
Well, congratulations for turning yourself around. I that what you said about that hits me particularly strong with how the economy is right now in the world. And I think that, people who weren't born with the silver spoon in their mouth, as the saying goes, you can care about, like you said, you've dealt with people who are, on their worst days, who've been through traumatic experiences. And so that definitely, I think, helps with being somebody who works for the community.
I think you're definitely right about that. I've been very open about financial issues I've had in the past. In the mid-2000s, I was the victim of the mortgage meltdown crisis, entered foreclosure and then ultimately bankruptcy as a result of that. And it's been something my opponents have exploited and sort of ridiculed me for. But I've been very open about that. And frankly, I think it makes me a better person to be a judge. It certainly made me a more empathetic person. I understand what it's like to be at the end of your rope. I understand the dark places the mind goes to when you're trying to survive. And I think that I carry those experiences with me. I think that it would make me just a much better and more understanding judge. Not a pushover. I'm not saying that it would make me a pushover, but it definitely makes me understand human nature more,
Yes.
and that people are, so many of us are one paycheck, one illness, one bad decision away from financial catastrophe, and that we should all just be a little nicer to each other.
Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next question, which is I'm going to mix it up a little bit. So how's the campaign been so far? As a judicial candidate, do you do the normal thing where you're going to, door to door, and then you're also obviously, I know you've attended events.
So it is a bit unusual as a campaign, and I haven't done a lot of door-to-door work. I've been trying to meet people in as large of groups as possible. So clubs, meetings, community associations, certainly meet and greets and fundraisers that friends have had in their homes. And I've enjoyed the process, and that's been the best part for me, is meeting my neighbors. The other unique thing about a judge's race is, and stick with me here, it's as though we're running in a general election in our primary, because we appear on both primary ballots and we run apolitically in nonpartisan elections. So it's actually unethical for us to disclose whether we are Republicans or Democrats, and we don't take policy positions. So we really have to get to know and really impress our friends and neighbors from all across the political spectrum. And it's challenging, but there's been a beauty in it for me, because it's made me realize that we're all just so much more alike than we are different. And so many of us share the same values. We want the same things. And what I'm hearing from everyone is we all want to live in safe communities. And that's a desire and a right that really transcends political position. So that's been a definitely an interesting part of this campaign for me. I think that judicial campaigns typically aren't as aggressive as this one has been. I don't ever take on a task that I don't anticipate accomplishing. I don't ever undertake a task that I don't anticipate winning or finishing. So certainly I'm in this race to win this race. It wasn't to prove a point. It was to become a judge on Baltimore County Circuit Court. And I think that took a lot of people by surprise. I think it certainly took my challengers by surprise. And I've changed the nature of these races. I've made the public more aware of what this process is. I've made the public more aware of what the Constitution says about these races and why it's so important. And if I have any kind of legacy, I hope that that's it. I hope I make people more aware of these races, more aware that this is the only opportunity that they're ever going to have, probably, to hold these judges accountable. Judges are elected to circuit court terms of 15 years. This is the last job many of us will ever have. And the only time that you'll hear from us or be able to hold us accountable is in the election, usually the first election that a judge sits for. And so I hope I've changed the nature of races moving forward and made voters more engaged and more informed about why the stakes are so high.
They are indeed high. I will give you that. So what made you decide one day to run to be a judge and put everything on the line, essentially?
I think it was the day that I realized that I really just wanted to help. And this is where I know that I can do the most good for the most people. And coming to terms with that was really when I knew that this is what I wanted to do. In full disclosure, I had applied before to be considered and to be appointed under the constitutional provisions and wasn't selected. But going through that process really emboldened me and made me more self-confident as a candidate, getting feedback that was very good, responding to feedback that maybe things I needed to change, but working on those things and changing those things over years. And also, too, going back to where everything should start, the Constitution and our Maryland Constitution of 1867, Article 4, Section 5, states the process by which circuit court judges are selected. And it says, in the event of a vacancy on the circuit court, the governor shall appoint someone duly qualified who shall occupy that space, quote, until the election and qualification of his successor. It was always the people who get to decide who judges are. And reading that provision hit me very hard because our judicial elections have come to mean something else. They've come to be a rubber stamp. Folks want you just to approve these pre-selected judges who a commission or a governor or somebody else said were good. And I don't think there's anything else less American or less democratic than that sentiment. You know, changing the Constitution is possible, but it's also very hard, and it's hard for a reason. And I just don't buy that because a tradition has happened over the last 100 or so years, 150 years, that it suddenly becomes the law. And so there were a lot of reasons why I ultimately made the decision to run as a judge. I think that I also, as a county resident, just didn't like the way that I saw my county changing. I hear that crime is down, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I know talking to my friends and neighbors and even how I was feeling, it feels like scary crime is up. I don't remember a time when we were afraid to be carjacked unloading groceries from our car.
Not in Towson.
I don't remember a time when we had so many reports of children harming other children, holding them up at gunpoint. And even if you're not concerned about serious crime, I think we're all sick of going to Walgreens and having to ask someone to open a glass door for us to get a stick of deodorant.
Oh, yes.
Things have changed. You know, things have changed here. And you can say that they haven't all you want, but I think you're turning a blind eye to reality. And there's one aspect of the criminal justice system that's never held accountable, really. It's the judges. We hold our police accountable, our prosecutors, our parole and probation agencies, but you never hear much about the judge's decision. Was the sentence adequate? Should they have let this person out on bail or not? And I think it's just an under scrutinized part of our system. And I saw an opportunity. I missed the time when criminals thought twice before committing crimes in Baltimore County because they feared that there might be consequences. Judge Patrick Kavanaugh is a big inspiration for me in 2002, I believe. He ran just like I'm running against the incumbent judges and won. And he was known to be a very fair and very, very good jurist. But if you were found guilty in his courtroom of a serious violent crime, Lord help you. And I just believe there was a time when folks thought to themselves, you know, there's a chance that I might pull one of those two judges if I commit this crime in Baltimore County, and it's not worth the risk. And I just think that I think we're in a place right now where things could go either way in our county. And I saw this opportunity to do some good when it comes to this. And when it comes to this issue, I'm not saying that we need to hang them high. I'm certainly not saying we need to lock up Black and brown children. I know that there's a lot of study and thought being given to how we change bad habits and former habits and how we break ourselves of being just vehicles of mass incarceration. But we can be compassionate crime fighters. We can be compassionate to folks who find themselves on the wrong side of the law because of drug addiction and because of mental health issues. We can be compassionate to young people who are willing to make a change and be malleable and receptive to rehabilitative efforts. But that does not mean we have to embrace Baltimore City crime fighting policies with open arms. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I think it's a big moment for experienced people who have made tough decisions in their careers and who are brave to step up and to be leaders that we need right now in our county.
Well, Mr. Daniels, I think you've said it all right there. So where can people get in touch with you? Where can they see your website, Facebook, all your social medias? Just lay it all out for the Baltimore County Informer audience.
Great. Thank you so much. So my website is danielsforjudge.com. That's Daniels, the number 4, Judge.com. I set forth my background, my motivation, my full resume is there, and really why I want this job. We also have some news and announcements. And of course, my volunteer button is there as well. If anybody feels inspired by what I've said and wants to support me, the outsider grassroots candidate, I'm certainly happy to accept any volunteer help, especially when it comes to working the polls and passing out literature to voters and giving them a brief intro and just making them aware of my name. Of course, campaigns are expensive as well, so there is a donate button. My opponents inherited about $400,000 when they became judges about 13 weeks ago. And so I've had to put things together on a shoestring budget here and there, getting money where I could. So I'm certainly grateful for any financial support anybody might be willing to offer. There's no amount that's too small, and I'm deeply grateful. My Facebook political page is very active. I do a lot of reels, a lot of interactive things, a lot of video content, and that is Rob Daniels for Baltimore County Judge. That is different from my personal page, so I like to keep everything political on my political page, but please look for us there. I also do on Sunday evenings fireside chats on Facebook Live every Sunday at 7 p.m., and they've been great. We're getting lots of audience participation. I take people's burning questions live and answer them. There's no question that's off limits. And it's been a great way for me to engage with the community and really well received. I've been doing Facebook reels and videos for just under 5 weeks. And I think we just hit 170,000 views, which to me is remarkable. I don't know what going viral means, but this sure feels like it's going viral. But please check us out on the website and also on Facebook.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. And as I say to every candidate out there, I wish you the best of luck. Early voting starts on Thursday, May 2nd. And then Election Day, I believe, is May 14th.